sermon, Mr. Jimmy Call. Brethren, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Apostle Peter likened Satan to a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, as we see here in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, that I just read, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, Peter's contemporaries knew what he meant. They knew exactly what he was talking about, because at that time, there were wild lions in Palestine. There were wild lions living all around in Palestine. Most of us in the here today, you know, where we live, we don't see the lions. We've been cut off from most of the land and nature. You know, unless our study is diligent, therefore, you know, we can lose much of the Bible imagery that was built around nature. The Apostle Paul said that he was not ignorant of Satan's devices. He was not ignorant of Satan's devices. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. It states, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Are we? Are we aware of his schemes? You know, we may have heard the saying, know your enemy. Know your enemy. When we know our enemy, it is easier to defeat him. You know, we need to know how our adversary, Satan, operates. We need to know exactly how he operates so that we can guard ourselves against him. I've given the message title today, Do You Know Your Enemy? Do You Know Your Enemy? So, over the next few minutes here, we're going to look at several ways in which Satan resembles a roaring lion. We'll look at several ways that Satan resembles a roaring lion. Camouflage. Lions are wonderfully camouflaged. As you can see here, they blend in perfectly into the bush. Their amber eyes, golden bodies merge into the undergrowth so that they can sneak up on their prey. Soldiers do the same thing. Soldiers use a similar tactic when they don camouflage uniforms. So, is it any wonder? Is it any wonder at all that Satan, the father of warfare, uses the same technique? And he does. The devil has the most perfect camouflage of all. He's invisible. And what's more, many people don't even believe he exists. Look at the world today. They don't believe he exists. You know, one of the devil's most clever tricks is to persuade someone that he isn't real, that he isn't real. Then he can roam undetected, wreaking havoc and also destruction. But as years ago, as Mr. Armstrong said, on many occasions, there's a cause and an effect for everything. Look about you at this world. You know, there is a cause for all the evil. There's a cause for all the evil that's going around. And the Bible tells us about it. The Bible tells us the cause. You know, Genesis 1 and verse 2 tells of a time before the creation of Adam when the world was without form or void. When the world was without form or void. So, did God bungle the job of making this world? Of course not. We know that. God is not the author of confusion. We see that in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. It says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." So what happened to the world? What happened to the world, you know, and put it into the sorry state that it is right now? Let's read Ezekiel 28, and we're going to read verses 12 through 17. Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 17. "Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre, and say to him, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you: carnelian, chrysolite, and emerald, topaz, onyx, and jasper, lapis, lazuli, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub. For so I adorned you, I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings." Brethren, the archangel Lucifer, later named Satan, was given control over a beautiful earth. But in a display of astounding arrogance, he sought to take to himself the supreme position of authority in heaven. What was he thinking? What was he thinking? You know, he was overcome by his pride. He was overcome by his pride. And interesting, if you think about it, we referred to a pride of lions. But pride comes before a fall. Pride comes before a fall. Proverbs 16, verse 18 states that. Proverbs 16, verse 18. "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Again, what was Satan thinking? Satan apparently truly and really believed that he could knock God off of his throne. He absolutely, without a doubt, thought that he could do that. With all God's talk about serving and caring for others, maybe Satan realized or reasoned that the Ancient of Days was soft and senile and would be a pushover. What was he thinking? Just remember that thought. What was he thinking? Perhaps before his rebellion, there had not been a reason for God to be or to get angry. But Satan learned a lesson. Satan learned an extremely hard lesson. El Shaddai. The Almighty God blasted Satan back to the earth. He blasted Satan back to earth. And in Luke 10 and verse 18, it says, "And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Before Satan's rebellion, there's no mention that Satan had a fear of God. But since the rebellion, Satan and his demons are fearing and trembling God. James 2 verse 19. "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe, and they tremble. Brethren, there is no doubt whatsoever. Satan is here on earth now. He's here right now. He's invisible. And he knows that his time is short. Look at the things that are happening around the world. Revelation 12 and verse 12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that he has a short time." Satan is doing everything he can. We can't let him. So, brethren, despite his camouflage of invisibility, Satan is a real being. He is a real being. Don't be deceived. Now, above any other time in history, we have to be steady. We have to be strong. We have to be on our knees. We need to have our nose in the Bible. We need to be studying, praying, fasting. Because we know that Satan is real. So don't be deceived. Don't let him get to you. Satan is alive. Satan is alive and well on this planet. Now in the picture here, lions look cuddly. This lion looks like he's got a little smile on his face. Well, the facial expressions of these big cats are normally mild and pleasant, seemingly full of warmth and gentleness. Like I said, this particular picture right here looks like he's smiling. Well, don't trust lions. Lions can't be trusted. You know, you may have heard stories of people who, while visiting animal parks, lowered their windows, put their arms out to pet this smiling little cat. Well, many of them have lost their arms because of that, or their lives. People who have, made pets of these animals have ended their lives locked in lions' jaws. These are powerful cats. You know, lion handlers know that working with lions isn't easy. It's always risky. Lions can turn on their handlers at any time, at any moment's notice. Even when they appear docile, lions can attack without any warning whatsoever. Likewise, Satan doesn't always appear as a ferocious beast. You think of that. Satan doesn't always appear as a ferocious beast. You know, his ferocious nature may only display itself when he's going in for the kill. He and his grisly gang, wicked cohorts, like to pawn themselves off as angels of light. They want to appear as your friends. You know, they want to appear as angels of light. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So it's all proof. It's all proof right here in the Bible. Satan likes his part of the bush, which is this world. Satan absolutely loves this world. To look attractive and appealing. He wants us to let our guard down. You know, and this world, its cares, its entertainments, its pursuits can certainly look enticing and enjoyable. Why do you think it's so hard when you find a show that you like and it happens to watch just one episode? You watch one episode and you want to keep on watching more episodes and more episodes. No, your Bible's laying right here, but I'm watching the TV. It happens. You know, Satan, he's making his way into our lives. But we can't let that happen. So beneath the pleasant and friendly exterior are the instincts of a furious beast, ready to bite, to kill, and gorge itself on its victims. Satan wants us to snuggle close to his lair so that he can catch us off guard. We can't let that happen. We have to, you know, draw closer to him as never before. As never before. A pride of lions has its own territory. They have their own territory, a specific area in which it lives and hunts. A pride will roam to and fro through this area, looking for kills, looking for that opportunity to kill. Satan is also in his killing ground. He was cast down to this world and is confined here. This is his turf, his territory, his pride land. Anyone on this planet is in lion territory. In lion territory, spiritually. Every nation is Satan's killing zone, his killing ground, his pride lands. And just as lions hunt in packs, so Satan leads a host seeking, you know, what suffering that they can cause. We're not going to take the time to read this, but Mark 5, verses 1 through 13. Write that down and then study that. Mark 5, verses 1 through 13. And then also Jude 13. Jude 13. You know, in Bible imagery, the governments of this world are likened to beasts. They're likened to beasts. We see in Daniel 7, verse 17. Daniel 7, verse 17, that the four great beasts are four kings that will rise from the earth. So just as the lion is referred to as the king of the beasts, so Satan is able to influence and lead within the limits that God allows. within the limits that God allows, which is all human governments, on the earth. He can raise to the ruler's chair the very dregs of mankind. The devil, as king of beasts, can play national governments like puppets. He has them right there. Right there. The world's ideologies and physiologies, philosophies, also show a satanic influence. Cutthroat competition in the marketplace. The struggle to get while the getting's good. We've all heard that saying, get while the getting's good. National and individual jealousies and rivalries. All these stem from Satan. The king of all beasts. To put it another way, Satan is the god of this world. As surprising as that may seem. We see in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. The god of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. This is why we must never quit reading the Bible. We must never quit studying. Bible study, prayer, fasting. We need to pray for each other for strength. We have to be together. We have a close congregation here. We need that. We need that all the time. So that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays in the glory of God, who is the image of God. So as we see here, Satan hates for us to be here today. He does everything in the world to keep us from being here today. That's why it's a fight. It's a fight that we can never give in. We can never let him get to the point where we're discouraged enough that we don't want to be here. Brethren, we have to love one another. We have to pray for one another. Lions love darkness. The prey animals, over a long distance, can usually outrun a lion. During daylight, the prey spot the lion on the run way before the lion gets there, way before the lion gets close enough to even begin its charge. So, most daylight hunting attempts by a lion fail. Darkness gives the lion the advantage. It gives the lion an added advantage over his prey. This advantage often tips the scale into the lion's favor. So lions in general prefer to hunt at night. They're nocturnal. Similarly, Satan is sometimes called the Prince of Darkness. He also likes to stalk at night. So to avoid his attacks, we need to stay in spiritual daylight. And Jesus Christ said, "I am the light. I am the light." John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Think of that. We'll have the light of life. So when we're close to that light, Satan won't be able to take us. He won't. But what if we wander away from the light? What if we let down on our Bible study, our prayer, our fasting? What happens when we wander a little too far from the light? Brethren, the African bush is a hard life. At night, without light, even the most heavily armed man stands little chance against a marauding lion. Even the most heavily armed man stands little chance against a lion. In the same way, no matter how much knowledge or ability we think we have, no matter how strong that we feel, no matter how strong that we feel that we are, if we're wandering around in darkness, we're easy pickings for Satan. We are easy pickings for Satan. Without light, we won't break the charge. Without light, we won't break the charge. So as we see here, we see a male lion. Just to give you an example of how a typical lion. A male lion usually weighs from 350 to 400 pounds. Some reach 500 pounds. Males are usually 9 feet long from nose to toe, or nose to tail, and stand approximately 3.5 feet tall. That's huge. Females are slightly lighter and smaller. Lions have 30 sharp teeth, sharp claws to match. At night, they prowl proudly across their domain, their pride land, seeking prey. The male is dominant and guards the territory, but the female usually makes the kill. Lions walk softly along, silently surveying their prospective victims. They walk slowly, looking for their victims. Their eyes see well in the dark as they patiently approach their prey. And they have an uncanny knack for appearing on the scene when you least expect it. Does this sound familiar? Satan does the same thing. When you least expect it, Satan's there. They prefer large victims to small ones, but will go for both. Zebra, buffalo, water hog are some of their favorites. And they will single out the weakest animals in the herd. A zebra with a limp is in great danger. If the victim raises its head, a lion will freeze in its tracks. You've probably seen cats out in the field when they're going for a mouse or a bird. They slowly creep along. If the mouse or a bird looks up, instantly, they're stopped. And they hold that position. They hold that position. They wait patiently, though they may be dribbling with greed. Then, when the animal being stalked is again unaware, the lion creeps forward. Its body more and more starts hugging the ground. It has to get close to its prey. A lion can travel at tremendous speeds over short distances. They can travel tremendous speeds over short distances. Lions have been timed at crossing 100 feet in just over 3 seconds. In just over 3 seconds. And here's the kicker. That's from a dead stop. That's from standing to starting. 3 seconds, they can cover 100 feet. But a lion can't maintain that speed for a long period of time. So it must move undetected, close to the prey, or healthy animals will outrun it. From about 40 feet, the lion explodes into action. Its tail goes up, it lets out a paralyzing roar, and it begins an incredibly fast rush. It hurls itself onto the prey, inflicting deep gashes and wounds. It will bite and claw and cuff the thrashing victim around, often appearing to play with it. The victim's death does not come quickly. They play with the animal. You know, a killing may take 10 minutes or more. It just depends. The lion straddles the animal, biting into its hide and ripping away chunks of flesh. Then the lion goes for the throat. Its jaws are like steel clamps. Its jaws clamp down hard on the neck, choking off the air supply and strangling their victim. Then they drag the carcass off and begin eating on it. It's rare for a man without help to survive a lion attack. But because of the time that it takes for this brute to go for the throat, there is time to shout for aid, but that's only if there's someone close. Only if there's someone close and nearby. If assistance comes quickly enough, there's hope. You know, victims of lion attacks always need immediate emergency attention. So the lessons here are clear. Satan stalks stealthily through spiritual nighttime, using cunning and deception to get close to the prey. So we need to stay close to God. We need to study, pray, and be close to God, to church, to one another. Let's look at Revelation 12 and verse 19. Revelation 12 and verse 19. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Let's move to Revelation 13 and verse 14. Revelation 13 and verse 14. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So the previous verse was Revelation 12 and verse 9. This verse is Revelation 13 and verse 14. Now let's move on and look at Revelation 20 and verse 3. Revelation 20 and verse 3. And it says, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. He must be released for a little while. Brethren, Satan tries to catch us off guard. Satan is willing to attack anything, but prefers large gain to small, and prefers the weak to the strong. Satan prefers the weak to the strong. So in other words, the members of God's church are especially appetizing. We're food, and we're appetizing to Satan. Our part in God's plan makes us big game. And a member who has some spiritual weakness is like that zebra with a limp, we're now the target. We're always the target. But if we let off on our studying, our praying, we become that zebra with a limp. We are the target. But if any of us do stumble and are attacked by that spiritual lion, there may still be hope, and there may be still time to cry out for God's help. God is far stronger than Satan. We know that. Satan may roar, but God thunders. God can pull Satan off, and he will. Then you need expert help. We need the healing powers of God's Spirit to heal the awful wounds that Satan has just put on us. But isn't it much better not to put ourselves in that position or situation where Satan can dig his fangs in to begin with? You know, from time to time, some lions may taste human flesh and develop a liking for it. Such a beast has to be tracked down, and destroyed. But tracking down a lion requires an expert with superior weapons. Once the lion is destroyed, the people celebrate at being rid of this beast. Brethren, Satan is a man-eater. He is a man-eater, and he will destroy any man who puts himself in a position to be taken. So there again, we must not let ourselves get in that position. You know, the Bible tells us that Satan's destructive activities will increase at the time of the end, the time that we're living right now. Revelation 12 and verse 12. Revelation 12 and verse 12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Satan knows that his time is short. So Satan needs putting down. Satan needs putting down. And that's precisely what is going to happen. It will happen. Satanic influence will be stopped and removed from the world. It will be removed from the world. Blasted off every part of this planet. Christ will leave no corner for Satan and his cunning cohorts to sneak to hide in. You know, the devil's ultimate downfall is prophesied in the Bible. It's prophesied in the Bible. Satan's fate is already sealed. We see in Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. It prophesies the time when a mighty angel will stop Satan in his tracks. Will bind him with a great chain. And this will occur just after Christ's return to the earth. Satan will be caged to prevent him from causing further damage. Revelation 20, 1 through 3 states, And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. Brethren, this putting away of Satan, his binding and banishment to the bottomless pit is pictured by the Day of Atonement, one of God's seven annual holy days. God's holy days picture what is to happen from now until the end of the age and afterwards. Yes, one day we will be rid of the beast. We will be rid of the beast. But in the meantime, we have to stay vigilant. We have to stay vigilant. We must study, pray like there's no tomorrow. When we sense that Satan is on the offensive, will we fight for our life and shout for God to help? If we do, God will help us. Or, brethren, when the lion roars, will we accept his invitation to dinner?